Okay, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the We're Having a Good Time podcast. My name's Dusty Slay. I'm your host, and this is an exciting episode. I'm pumped to be here. My Netflix special's out called Wet Heat. It's out right now, so if you've never watched any of my comedy, you can go watch that one and Working Man. But I'm sure if you're a podcast listener, you're sick of hearing about it because it's been blowing up my social media and it's everywhere right now. And I'm sorry. There is, when these things come out, you got to push. I mean, that's what you have to do because, you know, Netflix wants to know people are watching it. So maybe Netflix wants to do it again another time. But that's where we're at. We're at, pushing a special. I mean, I just got back from New York City. I just got back, like an hour ago. And I've not done a podcast in a couple of weeks. So I want to try to get one out. I'm going to try to get this out today, right after I'm done recording it. We'll got something going, and then maybe I can record another one and get back to the regular schedule of Thursdays. But who knows? I just got back from New York, did several podcasts, news shows and whatnot, promoting it. I had fun in New York City, but I always stay in Times Square when I'm doing stuff like this because, like, normally I'm there to do the Tonight Show. That's when I go to New York the most off. I said that to somebody, and they were like, oh, no big deal. And I'm like, oh, I didn't mean it like that. I mean, unless I'm doing something, I don't really go to New York a lot. I don't dislike New York, and I do like it. I usually have a really fun time there, but it just is a bit of a hassle. It's a hassle that I'm not used to. Like, the first couple of times I went to New York, I would use the subway everywhere because that was the, cheapest option. And also it was kind of cool. And then I made a little more money and I would do a cab or I would Uber around. But I was there this time and it's like, I always Uber from the airport, which is very expensive, but I expect to pay that. So I got that in mind already. But I was Ubering around to do different things and it wasn't that bad. But then, it started raining, and I tried to Uber, and I guess when it rains, Uber knows that everybody... I usually do Lyft, but Uber, it's just easier to say. But it's like they all know that everybody's about to order an Uber or a Lyft because it's raining. Like, one time I was trying to go somewhere. I was trying to go to Brooklyn to do a podcast. It was $230. I was like, what? So I got in the subway for $3 and went there. I was like, that's insane. $230? Absolutely insane. And then it was $50 to get back. But the podcast that I did, they paid for my Uber home. So I appreciated that. That was very nice of them. And then another time from Times Square, just down south, while it was raining, it was $150. Again, $3 in the subway, made it down there. And the subway obviously makes more sense, but I just don't really like it. I don't really like, there was a guy who got on the subway on one of the things and, typical fashion, yelling at everybody on the subway. And then, I try to ignore them and continue my conversation with my friend. It seems like the whole subway had gotten quiet for this guy to yell. And I just continue talking to my friend. And then the guy stops right in front of me and stares at me. And then, continues on his rant about, whatever. And I just stopped talking and I don't look at him, cause I'm so annoyed by it. And then he eventually moved on and went to another subway car. But it's just that, I'm not trying to deal with that. I don't like that. That's a thing I've never enjoyed about New York. And I don't know that anybody enjoys it about New York. But any big city with just a lot of, like, you know, insane homeless people, like, I always have sympathy for homeless people. Nashville has a lot, a decent amount of homeless people, and I feel sorry for them. But when you get, like, when they get, like, insane, like, yelling at you in your face and stuff, that's where I kind of lose my sympathy, and I turn into more of a, I just wish this weren't happening type thing. But it was good. It was a good trip. I like doing the spots that I did, and I didn't do any comp stand-up. I normally don't do that. I do get opportunities to do it, but I normally don't. But it was a fun trip. But what I was going to say, I used to say around Times Square when I go, because that's where the Tonight Show is. That's where, you know, like, I did stuff on Sirius XM. That's where that building is. I did a couple things on the news, and those buildings were right there. So they're all right there in that area, mainly walking distance for me from my hotel. But there's no good food. There's, like, tons of food, but no good food in that area. Like, New York has tons of good food, but not in Times Square. I just feel like every meal I had, and I didn't eat a lot because of that reason, but every meal I had, it just felt like it was bad. I had Chinese food last night at, like, a sit-down Chinese restaurant, which I really don't feel like you get a lot. I feel like, you know, in the South, especially, like, Chinese food is, like, it's takeout or it's a buffet. I don't feel like you get a lot of sit-down restaurants that are Chinese. So I thought it would be nicer, and it was nicer, but not that nice. And then also, like, a lot of Chinese food is pork or shellfish, which I don't eat. We established that on the last podcast. And I actually recorded a podcast episode before I left, and then I deleted it, because it was all in response to people who commented about pork. And of course, I focus on the ones that disagree with me. But I just decided, I was like, you know, I don't want to share this. I wasn't getting mad at people, but I was trying. I was, like, calling people out, and not by name, but just reading the comments and trying to make fun of them. And then I thought, you know what? It doesn't matter. A lot of people I know actually have gotten more onto the no pork thing. So I just think it's just a message that I like to share. It's not something that I ever want to argue with people about, because at the end of the day, everybody makes their own decisions. And anything when it comes to religion, if you do it for someone else other than God, then there is no point in doing it. You know, it has to be for God or no one else. So there's no point in arguing about it. So it's hard for me at a Chinese restaurant, because they do have a lot of pork, like dumplings. A lot of those are pork. And then sometimes I feel like if you're at certain restaurants, like, I don't order chicken either, because the chicken will be chopped up in a way to where I'm like, I don't know if this is chicken or pork here. I don't know. And then, because you'll have your sauces on it, so I don't know. And I couldn't find any vegetable spring rolls. I do love a vegetable spring roll. I used to go to this place in Hendersonville, and I made fun of it. If you've recently listened to all these podcasts, you probably heard me complain about it. I forget what it was called, but it was a Thai restaurant, and I would complain about it because it would take so long to get the food. And then I realized later that, you know, they're just preparing all this stuff fresh, and it was just really good. And I miss it. It's closed now. I tried to go there the other day. It's closed now. But I think what they were missing was communication. Because, you know, the problem was I would go there, and sometimes it'd be a little faster than other times. The last time me and Hannah went, we sat for so long. We eventually told the server, we go, hey, we just want to leave at this point, you know? And the server was like, yeah, you've been here a long time. You can just go. Like, I was like, no, I mean, we're not trying to skip out on our meals or whatever, but, you know, I don't think I was trying to pay full price, but I was also like, at this point, I don't even care. I'd rather just pay for the meal and leave. And the server was just like, nah, you can go. And I just thought that was weird, because I just feel like you just need communication. If it's going to take 30 minutes, you should just say that. Like when I waited tables, we had a thing where, you know, for appetizers, I think if they're not out in 10 minutes, then we have to, you know, we have to check on it. We have to let a manager know. And with entrees, if they weren't out in 20 minutes, we had to let a manager know. Now, they should all be out before then, but if they're not, that's when we're at, you know, we're at a heightened level. And we go to the table and we let them know, hey, I'm sorry, things are taking a little longer than we expected. You know, here's some boiled peanuts. Here's some coleslaw. Here's some hush puppies. Just some things to tie them over. Here's a crab dip, you know. Because I think one time I went into that place, I ordered some spring rolls and then our entrees. And then the spring rolls came, we ate the spring rolls. And then we go, you know what, let's get another order of the spring rolls. And then the spring rolls came and we ate the spring rolls. And then we were still waiting on our entree. And it was just like a really long time. But I miss it. I wish that place was still around. They had great food. I forget what it was called, but it was a hot spot. I actually was talking about that spot one time with some friends in a cigar shop. And another guy overheard my conversation about this place and you know, invited himself into the conversation to defend the restaurant, and he was like almost yelling at me about it, and I was like, you should probably just take it easy. So I don't think he helped how I felt about that restaurant. Also, I got some advice from someone online that I should get new microphones. Get rid of these Rode microphones and pick up a Shure microphone, I think is what he said. And I reacted poorly to him. I actually reacted very poorly to him and then deleted that message and then reacted slightly less poorly to him in the next message. But you know, the problem with messages is that you can never read tone. So when you're texting back and forth with people, you can never hear the tone. But what he said was, something to the effect of, I know you got that in a podcast kit off the Rode website. And somehow that really annoyed me because it made it sound like I just went on and I go, what do I do? I don't know anything about a podcast. And maybe I did do that. But this was years ago when I did this. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I just ordered a podcast kit. And that annoyed me. Because I think the podcast sounds good. But maybe the Shure microphones will be good. But I just did the Are You Garbage podcast. I did a second episode of that. And they were using these same mics. So I was excited about it. I think it sounds good. I really like the sound of my podcast. But I may invest because, I'm also moving. I don't know that I ever gave an update. But a few months back, me and Hannah went and looked at a house. And we immediately loved the house. It had a little more land. It had more space inside, had a space for a podcast studio, and is a nice older house, which is what I love. I love older houses. And it was in our price range. And so we immediately made an offer. And then as the weekend went on, they were like, we're going to, you know, make a decision. The homeowners were like, we're going to make a decision by Monday and we'll let everyone know. And based on talking to my real estate agent, it felt like we were in the lead. We wrote a personalized letter. We let them know that we love their house. We have a family and we want this house for our family. We're not a big investor. We're not BlackRock or Blackstone who's going to come in here, buy the house, bulldoze it, and turn the whole thing into a neighborhood of rental properties and ruin the entire country. We want the house to live in. And then last minute, they said a buyer came in and offered $100,000 over what the house, what they were asking for, and no inspection. So we said, okay. I mean, we were pretty bummed about it, but we said, okay. And then we settled back into our house. And then we got excited that we were staying because we said, you know what? We love our house. There's no reason to leave here. We like our house. Why were we trying to leave? And then like a month later, I got a call from my real estate agent who said, hey, that house you put an offer on, he said, it looks like the people that made an offer had trouble coming up with the money. So the house is back on the market. And the owner said, you know, if you want it, you can buy it. And at that point, we were almost a little heartbroken that we were now leaving our house. But it is the house that we want. It is the house that we want. So we bought it. And now we've been, Hannah and my sister have been working so hard while I've been gone in New York. They've been moving stuff. They've been working so hard. We do have movers coming, but you know, they've been getting, I don't want to say small things, because if you've ever moved before, you know that small things are the real pain, because everything seems small, but then you fill up a box and now the box is heavy. And now, you know, the box is heavy and you take it down and now you feel like you've not done anything because, you know, you've just moved that box. And I think that's where they're at. They feel exhausted. They're worn out. And I got home with kind of a fresh energy today, but I don't know if I'd like to do some things because they've done so much, but I do have movers coming to move all the furniture and all the big stuff. So that will be nice. But I don't know how many more podcasts I'll do in here. I mean, this could very well be the last one. And I may end up on a little longer of a hiatus. I am going to try to do one next week because I'm in LA for a few days. And it looks like I'm going to have one day where I'll have a little extra time. And I may try to do one in the hotel room just to you know, keep things going, because I don't want to take a hiatus because I feel good. I like the momentum that I got going, and I've been posting it on YouTube regularly, and I like that. We are going to, between promotion and for the special and the move, we got a lot going on. And then my tour's kicking up. And that's kind of the bummer about things. It's like, I don't know, I guess in a way it's good. I had basically 2 months off the road. I had a couple of things that I had to do that, like we did the movie with Nate in Atlanta. And then the next week we did the podcast with Nate in Atlanta, which is like, was travel again, which was flying, which is really what I was trying to avoid. Doing comedy is the fun part. I mean, that's what I love. I love to go up and do my show. It's the traveling that I really get tired of. It used to be driving. I used to be sick of driving, and now I'm sick of flying. But driving, I'm not sick of driving either. So I don't know if there's another mode of transportation. And I also have a little bit of a sinus thing going on. I don't know if you can tell, but it's been going on for, I don't know, since about Monday. But I feel good overall. I got a couple of podcasts coming out next week that should be very exciting. I'm not going to talk about it, but it should be exciting. And I did, if you're not aware, I did John Chris podcast called... what is it called? I don't know what that podcast is called. I had a really fun time doing it, but I don't know what it's called, though. Let's see. I should always look up these things before I... Net Positive is what it's called. Net Positive. I had a lot of fun on that. I did that last week. That was a lot of fun. Somebody did share it into the We're Having a Good Time Facebook group, so I know it's around. But not everybody that listens to this podcast is in that group. But yeah, I did Are You Garbage? I did a podcast called, I did Being Ian with Ian Fidance and Jordan Jensen. And Jordan is an old friend. Jordan used to live in Nashville, and me and Jordan, I don't know if anybody's familiar with Jordan, but and I've gotten mostly all positive comments off the Netflix, and that's very exciting. I did see a couple of things. Somebody shared something in the We're Having a Good Time Facebook group. I almost wish that I didn't see it, but it's okay. But I almost wish I didn't see it. And then I'm like, I almost want to read the review on the podcast. I'm not going to, but I almost want to just because of this guy gave a review. I don't think he has very many readers because I went to his Instagram and his Twitter just to see what he's got going on. And he barely has any followers. So I don't think he has much of a following but he gives reviews on Netflix specials or probably comedy specials in general. And then he gives his view on whether you should stream it or skip it. And he said that you should skip the special, which shows the guy's a complete moron. I mean, but his thoughts were not all so negative. It wasn't like he was really negative about the podcast, which is why I don't get why in the end he said to skip it. But he made this comparison, and I think it's because, you know, Netflix likes to call me a blue-collar comic, and I am. I'll say that. I'm not saying that I'm not. I do comedy. I like to think that I do comedy for regular people that just, live their lives and enjoy comedy and want to hear somebody talk about regular stuff, right? I'm a regular person. I never want to be anything but that. I never want to get too fancy. Even this week, I did a couple of things on the news and I kept being asked that I want makeup and my hair done. And it's like, when I do these specials and different things, they do put makeup on you and they do, you know, brush my hair and stuff. And I'm like, I just was like, no, I don't want that. It just is so phony. It's like, I understand in a way for TV, you're supposed to look a certain way or whatever, but I don't know. I just hate it. I do photo shoots where I have makeup on and I just hate it. And I'm a regular person and I just want to do comedy and that's it. But this guy, I guess he took that blue collar thing and he goes, if the blue collar comedy tour was up and running again, who would Dusty be? And he said, I would be Larry the Cable Guy. And he says, you know, this hat and hair that I'm doing is like some kind of costume. And listen, I love Larry the Cable Guy. I just did Larry the Cable Guy's podcast for SiriusXM. I've worked with Larry the Cable Guy. We've hung out. We had a great time. I love Larry the Cable Guy. And I think Larry the Cable Guy is really funny. I like his comedy. But I am nothing like Larry the Cable Guy. It's like this is a guy writing a review of my special who's never met anyone from the South. And he thinks every Southern person is exactly the same. It was so annoying. And then, you know, and it's just like, I don't know. It just annoyed me so much. I don't know why I even read it. But then at the end to go skip it, or at least skip to the second half, my special is built in a way to where he tries to take a shot at the callbacks. But again, it's like, that's what comedy is supposed to be. I know that we're in a clip age, right? Where, everybody just wants their clips. I've seen the Reddit threads talking about it where I read a Reddit thread recently where a guy was like, I haven't been to a comedy show in a long time. And I took a friend and we went and the comic on stage was just, he said like every comic was just doing crowd work. And then at one time, he said at one point they singled out me and my friend, and then a camera crew like crowded around us, filming us while the comic was talking back and forth to us. So we're in this clip age where everybody wants a clip, right? I put out lots of clips, but my clips are mainly just my stand-up. I may have a clip once in a while with a crowd work interaction, but it's all an organic interaction. I'm not forcing them. I've heard of comics doing, you know, clip farming. At the end of the shows, they'll do a Q&A with the audience and then bring the audience in and then it'll make it seem like they've done crowd work. I'm not doing any of that. I'm old school with my comedy. I like to create an act, and I like to create a full special, and I want that special to become an album. I want you to be able to listen to an album from me and get callbacks. Now, I put out two albums recently. I just put out Working Man, and I put out another one called Crockpot Comedy. And Crockpot Comedy, what that was, now, I've been told, and I don't know what I can do about it. I hate that I did this, but apparently on one of the jokes, there's about a minute of silence from at the beginning of the track, and sometimes that just happens when I edit things, and it's just, I don't know how I would even go in and fix it. But it's there, and later I hope to actually make it a physical album of some sort, and that won't be on there when I do that. And then also, Spotify would not let me put Working Man on their platform because they don't allow on spoken word albums. They don't allow any tracks shorter than 3 minutes, which I wasn't aware of. And the intro and the outro are both just short things. So that's the only ones that are less than 30 seconds. So I had or 3 minutes. So I had no idea. But anyway, I just put those out, and I'm really excited about it. That means I have 4 albums out now. I love that. And then, you know, Wet Heat will eventually be an album, and that'll be 5 albums. And I think all good albums. I like all the albums. I'm very excited about it. So with my special, the first half, you know, I'm setting up things. I'm planting seeds. I mean, they're all full jokes, but I'm planting seeds. And then in the second half, I make callbacks to all these jokes. So to skip the first half and go to the second, I mean, and then the guy complimented 2 of my jokes that are in the first half. It's like, guy, do you even know what you're talking about? He calls himself the comics comic. I'm like, do you even know what you're talking about? And I don't think he does. I don't think he has any idea. But the special's good. Couple of people complained about it. And this was, you know, I'm not trying to, call out Nateland-related people, but this was Nateland-related people. And one person said they like everything about Nateland except my special. And I commented, but I just want them to know, I mean, this special has nothing to do with Nateland. All right, it's not Nateland produced. It's not a Nateland production. It doesn't have anything to do with Nateland. I am a co-host on the podcast, and I love doing the podcast. I'm a co-host on the podcast, but I have always been my own comic. I produce my own specials. Netflix didn't even produce my specials. I hired the film crew, the director, and I was in on the editing process. And, so this is completely, a Dusty Slay production or a Lot 8 Inc. production. This is my work. You know, I love being a part of the Nateland podcast, but that is it. I mean, I am a Nateland podcast member, and I'm happy to be that. But, you know, just because you don't think my special is clean enough for you, and I get it. Listen, it's not as clean as the other guys. I always say my comedy is not for kids. I only adults, and I say it's relatively clean. That's how I describe it. I do cuss one time in this special, which normally I don't, and in my new act, I don't cuss. But even in my new hour that I'm doing, I got some stuff that most people would not consider clean, but I think it's funny. And I'm mainly talking about stores and how I think a lot of stores and restaurants have inappropriate names. And all I'm doing is saying their names. And so if it's dirty, that's my point. is me just saying the restaurant's name is dirty. But yeah, I mean, and I'm just talking here. I mean, I don't think I'm having to sell. If anybody listens to this podcast, you probably watched the special, and chances are you enjoyed it because, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, my comedy is much more enjoyable than my podcast. I mean, I'm, you know, I'm just on here, you know, complaining about things. But it, you know, the special is exactly what I wanted to put out. I mean, I when I recorded it, I go, I feel very good about this. And then when I went through the editing process, I felt good about it. I mean, you know, each time you do a special, or at least for me, I've done, you know, I've done two specials and then I did a half hour with Netflix. You do two tapings. With Making That Fudge, the album was one take. Son of a Ditch that I recorded, that album was one take. And then the hour that I have on YouTube was all one take. But with specials, especially, you know, you spend a lot of money on these people to film. So you do two takes just to make sure you get one. And typically speaking, one show is going to be better than the other. And with this latest one, the first show was unbelievable. You know, the first show with Wet Heat that I did, I mean, it was so, the audience was so good that I was almost like, I almost wanted the audience to be less good because I'm like, you guys are kind of laughing in areas that are not even that funny. They're going to think I put a laugh track on this thing because it's, the audience is too good. And then on the second show, it was more like a regular show audience, but it was such a contrast to where it threw me a bit to where I was like, oh man, this is actually quite a different audience. I almost feel like I'm working out here on this one, which typically when people know something's being taped, bring the energy no matter what. But, you know, and then you take... So that made it a little hard in the editing process because I'm like, the audiences are such a contrast, but I like how I told some of the jokes on the second set better. I like the way I told the joke better. And it still got a good reaction, but it was a contrast to the other reaction in a way that I just wasn't... you know, I wasn't sure how that was going to match up, but I feel very good about it. We had great editors, and I love the special. I think it's really good. And I, you know, and what they say about these specials now is, you know, like in the old days, like say an HBO special, all the promotion would be leading up to the release so that people would watch it the night it came out. But now with Netflix, it's the opposite. It's like when it, you want to do a little promotion before, but when it comes out, that's when the promotion begins because, you know, it's out and it's streaming so people can continue to watch it. So there is going to be a push for a little while. It'll probably calm down on my social media some, and I hope that if you're a follower of mine, you don't mute me and you don't get tired of what I got going on because there will be a, you know, there will be a bit of, hey, go watch it, share it with your friends, which I hate. But it is part of the process and I do appreciate anybody that shared it and people that shared positive things. Certainly people are welcome to not like anything they want. They don't have to love what I put out. I do get annoyed, though, when people, especially on, you know, like the last Nateland podcast, when people publicly comment that they don't like the special. It's like, all right, guys, I mean, you know, it feels like if you're a Nateland podcast listener, it's like, all right, we're like a little family here. We're like a little Nateland podcast family here. There's really no need to comment here and tell everybody how much you didn't like it. You know, at least not right away. I mean, you know, maybe later you go, ah, I didn't care for that. It was not as clean as I thought it would be. But I, you know, I felt like I did a decent job of prepping people for that. I said, you know, it's nothing too wild, but that's my way of letting you know, hey, it's not super clean, but you know, it's not nothing too wild. And then I say it's not for kids, you know. So I like to let people, I feel like those two things are really enough to let you know, hey, you might be in for a little more than the standard Nateland thing. But I did think it was funny that with that, that, you know, in a matter of 2 weeks, I'm being criticized online for thinking that I have to follow God's laws of the Bible, and then the next week being criticized for being too dirty on a pretty clean special. So I thought that's pretty funny. But, you know, I do want to, you know, thanks to everybody's comments about pork, telling me that I was wrong. People really want me to eat pork. I'll tell you that. People really want me to eat it. They're like, you got to eat it. You got to eat it. I saw a thing where they said that they've asked serial killers that were also cannibals. They've asked them what human meat tastes like, and they say it tastes like pork. They say pork is the closest thing to humans as you can get as far as the body goes. I think there's even a scene, somebody was telling me, and I got to rewatch the movie. I like the movie, but they were saying in Gangs of New York, the butcher was showing Leonardo DiCaprio, he was using the body of a pig to show, you know, what's a, how to injure someone versus how to kill someone. And he was stabbing the body of a pig because he was saying the pig's body is, you know, pretty close to being a human. And I think they have done various transplants of organs with using pigs. So, and then other people said, you know, wait till Dusty finds out what beef and milk do to the body. I do think our milk is bad. Now, there may be some good ones. I think there are some good milks out here. But I think overall, if you're just buying generic milk from the grocery store, it's probably been through a lot. Probably the cows are injected with a lot of things, and then the milk's been cooked down to almost nothing. So I do agree with that. But I don't think milk, cow's milk in general, is bad. I think just what we've done to it is bad. And I don't think beef is bad. I think you can get bad beef. If you go to eat, if you go to a fast food restaurant and eat beef, may not even be beef. For all I know, it's human meat. Where are the bodies going? I don't know. There's never any new cemeteries. You ever think about that? There's no new cemeteries. I never see a new one being built. Where's everybody's bodies going? You know? You know, I don't eat it, and my point of that podcast was to kind of illustrate that, you know, God's telling us not to eat these things, and then here's some things in society where they're saying that it's also bad. You know, if you want to make your arguments about beef and milk, that's okay, but you know, the Bible doesn't tell us to not eat beef or drink milk. Now, I think a lot of things in America, you know, we just do too much, right? It's like maybe we don't need to eat a steak every day, you know. Maybe we don't need to eat hamburgers every day, but I don't think beef is bad. You know, I think probably could stand to eat more vegetables overall. But some people think shouldn't even eat vegetables. Some people think meat only. Some people think no meat at all. So there's a lot of complicated diets. And I think it is based on everybody's individual body. It's what your body digests well. It's what you can handle. And it can become complicated because I think there's also becomes this thing where a lot of our vegetables and fruits are covered with pesticides. A lot of them have been, you know, genetically modified to a point where they may not even have the same nutrition that they used to have. Like, you know, I don't think our fruit should be seedless. I don't buy seedless watermelon. If I can help it, I love watermelon, and I'm always on the search for seeded watermelon, which there's barely any of that left, and I have a hard time growing watermelon. I just can't do it. So, you know, but I just don't think they're as good for you. And I think we've lost a lot of nutrition in our food. So you might, you know, you might get some fruit one day that's really, really good fruit. And then the next day you get the same fruit, but it's, you know, it's less good for you. So it's hard to know. But I don't find, sometimes I buy raw milk and I drink it and it freaks people out. I've never had any problem with it. I don't drink it all the time. I don't get it all the time. It's hard to get. But I do get it sometimes, and I drink it, and I think it's great. It doesn't seem to give me any problems. But all, my body goes through things, though, where I feel, right now I feel pretty good. Even though I got a sinus thing, I feel, digestion-wise, I feel very good. So my body just goes through things. So I don't know. It's week to week for me. I did go, I want to talk about a couple of things. Last week, I went to Vegas. I went to Las Vegas. I did a show at the Venetian, and I had a great time. The hotel was unbelievable. They put me in this really big, nice hotel room, and I don't gamble, so I didn't do any of that, and I ate some food. I did enjoy myself. I ate some pizza there, and I did have a rough digestion day, I think. I think bread, in general, in America, and maybe other countries too, but I know not all of them, but in America, bread is the worst. It's so bad. My goodness. Just go to the grocery store and just whatever bread you normally buy, just look at the ingredients on the back of it next time you're in there. It's like, why is all that in there? If you ever look up how to make bread, which I can't do, but if you ever look up how to make bread, it's like three or four ingredients. But a back of a bag of bread, it is unreal what's in there. It just blows me away. And it's just bad. So I think that's what happens to me. I've made little homemade pizzas at home off sourdough bread, and it doesn't do me that bad. But man, this pizza messed me up. But the show was great. I saw, I keep pronouncing his name wrong, and I think it's Shin Lim is his name. Shin Lim, magician. I'm not into magic. But he was very nice to me. We did a little promo video. He didn't put it out, so I don't know where it's at. But we did a little promo video together. He's a very nice guy. And then I went and watched his show. And again, I'm not into magic. He claims he's just doing sleight of hand. I'll trust him. But it was a good show. He's a very, very talented. I hope it is just sleight of hand. The guy's amazing. I don't know what else it would be. I have suspicions about what magic can be, because I know a lot of magicians that it all is just sleight of hand tricks, right? And I mentioned one of the tricks on Nate Land, and somebody commented that I said, oh, he's doing interdimensional stuff, and then I mentioned the easiest sleight of hand trick in the world, and maybe you're right. Maybe that is the trick I listed. Maybe that is the easiest sleight of hand trick in the world. But this guy did not see the whole show. He was doing some pretty wild stuff in the full show. And it was good. I enjoyed it. And then I did my show at that same theater. And it was the maybe one of the best shows I've had in Vegas. I mean, the one I did last year, I wasn't as happy with. It was my old material. It was, wet heat material. But I just didn't feel like the show went as well. But this show was my whole new hour that I'm doing, and I thought it was really hot. But I also did my wet heat joke, which I thought it was really hot. But I did an hour and 10, and I did two old jokes. Oh, I went down a real rabbit hole one night. I think it was Wednesday night. I worked myself into a frenzy reading comments about the special. I can't help but do it. I think people go, oh, you got to not look at the comments. You got to not look at the comments. But I think that's part of this tortured artist thing. Well, when you put out something, you really put you know, everything you got into it and you put it out, you really want to know what people think about it. It's like, it's important to me to know what people think about it. I can't just turn it off for what I... And so I found another guy. What did he say? Oh, he goes, this is on a Greg Warren's post. The guy deleted his post because I went after him. I didn't mean to go after him, but I just was so annoyed because the special is about 70 minutes, I think. A typical special is an hour. That's 60 minutes. This guy goes, yeah, the special was pretty good, but he did use a couple of old jokes. He said the old jokes only took 30 seconds, so he could have easily left them off and no one would have noticed. And I go, well, I go, oh, that 30 seconds out of 70 minutes really threw you off, huh? And he goes, ah, ha, ha, yeah, you know, you could have left those off and no one would have noticed. And I'm just like, well, you don't know anything about setting up a comedy set. You don't know what you're talking about. And it probably shouldn't annoy me, and I probably shouldn't comment, but that's not my nature. I've always been a little mouthy, and I'll go at it with someone. But, you know, I know one joke in particular that I used. It was the country music joke that I had on my Netflix half hour, the joke about, what was the joke? The thing about a good country song is it can have you reminiscent about times you never had. And the reason, two reasons I wanted to do that joke. One reason was that it was on the Netflix half hour. And the Netflix half hour is not mine. I don't own that half hour. So, you know, that half hour will never end up on a comedy album for me. That joke will never generate, it just will die on the half hour. Not that it's bad that it's on that half hour, but that's where it will go to rest. Right? That's the final resting place for that joke, unless I use it again. And so I used it again, and I put it on this special, which will eventually go on an album, so which will go on iTunes and Spotify, and someone can listen to that joke anytime they want. That's the first reason. And the second reason I did it was because it sets up my Joe Diffie joke. I wanted them to understand that the Joe Diffie joke has me thinking about my own childhood home, even though his childhood is nothing like mine. So that's why I put it on there. And the other old one that he talked about, I don't know what it could have been. I mean, I did a version of the milk and cows joke years ago. I did a really short version of that, so it really expanded. And then I did, you know, the pool being closed joke on the Tonight Show. But, you know, I did that because, well, I don't, you know, for me, if I do a joke on the Tonight Show, that joke is not dead. That joke, that's a preview for me. I might not do it as much, and I might start to phase it out. But the joke's not dead just because I did it on the Tonight Show. So I don't know what the other joke was. But it annoyed me. And so I just want to let people know that, you know, that's why I do certain things. Like, it's like, you know, you find a new place for the joke. You know, the working man had a joke from making that fudge on it. It's a short joke, but as I was going about doing the set, I go, ooh, that joke would go great right here. Let me work that joke in here. And it brought new life to the joke. And then I expanded the joke. The joke became better. It's going to happen. I just don't like when people that don't do comedy try to comment on my comedy set as if they know better. Just like this guy who wrote this review, the comics comic guy. It's like, you think I'm Larry the Cable Guy? Have you even watched Larry the Cable Guy's comedy? Have you even watched my comedy? I mean, Larry the Cable Guy at one time was the highest grossing comedian in the world. It would be an honor to be like Larry the Cable Guy, but I'm not like him. I'm not really like any of them. I mean, if any comic off blue collar comedy that I tried to model myself after early on was Ron White. And that was because I liked drinking. And, you know, I have a joke about getting pulled over while drinking and riding in a dump truck in a police car all in one day. I was listening to Ron White a lot back then. And I think that's my most Ron White-like joke. But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm like any of them. I mean, I love Jeff Foxworthy. I love Bill Engvall. I love Larry the Cable Guy. But I don't think I'm like any of them. So this idea that I'm playing a character, it's like, yeah, I have a look, but a lot of people look like me. This is not some super unique look. A lot of guys look like this. And I've had various looks throughout my life. You know, it's something that I've always done. It's changed up my style. So it just annoyed me that this guy's final take was to skip the thing. The way that I support my family is through comedy. And people seeing my special helps them go, oh, I'd like to go see this guy live. So the idea that this guy who creates nothing, who does nothing creative, who has really no value as a critic, would tell people not to stream the special is pretty annoying. I don't tell people. If anything, he's been giving more of a platform by my fans. So he should be thanking me because I didn't tell people to not go to his website. But I'm not telling you what his website is. You can find it if you want. But I had fun in Vegas, and I've been reading stuff about Vegas. A lot of people are saying that tourism is down in Vegas. I had a guy, the first time I went to Vegas, he was a cab driver. He told me, I've been living here for 30 years. He said, Vegas was a lot more fun when the mob owned it. And based on what I'm seeing, I don't know the history of Vegas, but based on what I'm seeing is the way things used to be was Vegas knew that they were going to rob you through gambling. They know that they were going to take your money through gambling, so everything else was cheap. It was cheap to eat in Vegas. I'm sure you could still go to nice restaurants, but there were cheap restaurants. So it was cheap to eat in Vegas, cheap to fly to Vegas, cheap to stay in Vegas, cheap to see shows in Vegas. And while you were gambling, they would give you free drinks. And all of that was to keep you gambling. And I'm also told that there was a better chance that you would win money in Vegas back in the day. But now corporations have stepped in, and corporations have all of these, I forget what you call them, but people that come in, these so-called experts, and they analyze everything, and they figure out how to make the most amount of money. So now the hotels cost more money, the food costs more, the drinks cost more. You don't get as many free drinks when you're gambling. I don't know about that because I don't gamble at all. So I don't know if that ever was a thing or if it even exists now at all. I don't know. And I've only been to one show, and I did get free tickets there, but I think that's because I was a performer. And so I don't know about all that, but I do know that I went to the sushi restaurant one night, and it was me and three other people. I paid the tab, but we, the people with me ordered two drinks total, not two drinks each, two drinks total, and then a Diet Coke, which is $7. And then we ordered three bottled waters, which was $7 each. And then we got sushi. I ordered the most food and was still not full. And everybody else got like one thing. I think I ordered four things and was still not full. So I know they weren't full. We got that. It cost $350. So if you're, and I don't think every restaurant's like that, but they don't, you know, there's no way to know really what it's going to cost going in. So if you're a family, I can see how that's not going to be feasible unless you're mega rich. Honestly, I was pretty unhappy about it because I was like, I did not get that full off this. Because they have this whole thing where they're like, with the sushi, they're like, oh, we really love to do chef's choice, you know. You just say, bring me some sushi and the chef will bring it out. Well, when you don't eat shellfish, you don't really let the chef choose. You're like, let me find the clean fish here. But I enjoyed Vegas. I had a fun time there. But I can see how for a family, it would be less, I would be less likely to go. And then also now gambling is legal all over the country, which I think was a mistake. I hate that that happened. I'm not for gambling. And I think gambling is a dumb way to entertain yourself. I'm sure there's many things that I do to entertain myself that people think are dumb. And that's fair. But I think gambling is a dumb way to entertain yourself because you're going to lose. You may win some, but overall you're going to lose. It's not going to be profitable for you. There may be some anomalies out there, but probably not. And then also, a couple of weeks ago, I went to Winnipeg in Canada. I had a lot of fun there. Never been to Winnipeg. That's I was fresh on the province when I was there, but now I'm slipping on it. But what is it? Winnipeg, Manitoba. I never been. Had a lot of fun there. I couldn't get a real vibe on the city. The city was pretty culturally diverse, more so than I thought. But they said, they said they have a lot of native people that live up north. And they had a lot of wildfires, so there was smoke in the air. So a lot of the natives have been brought into the city just to keep them safe because apparently just there's a lot of fires where they live. But just, just Asian people, people from Africa, and I don't know, when I think of Canada, I don't think of that. Now, I know that Toronto is a huge city, so you do think of that in Toronto. And I know that, I've not been to Vancouver, but they say Vancouver is very Asian. I'm told that, the Chinese have bought up, half, if not more than half, of Vancouver. Not saying anything negative about it. I hear Vancouver is very nice and very clean. But I just, when I think about, especially like a Manitoba, I just think of a real Canadian place. And it wasn't that. I had a great time. It was super fun. Now, when I got to the venue, it was an outdoor event, the Great Outdoor Festival. Very what you would expect from Canadians. I had a great time. I met the Trailer Park Boys. I met them. I never watched the show, so I didn't want to pretend to fan out about them. It was very cool to meet them, and they were very nice guys, and I really enjoyed them. But I don't, I don't want to pretend to to their face, I didn't want to be like, oh, I'm big fans, because I didn't want to be a liar about it. But I also didn't want to be like, hey, I know who you guys are, but I never watched the show, because there's no reason why I didn't watch the show. I just didn't. But it was cool to meet them. And I hung out with a guy, Julian, who I think is like the mean guy on the show. But Hannah says he's the guy that wrote the show. He was, the nicest guy. He seems like the real mean guy on the thing, but he was the nicest of the three. Not that they weren't all nice, but he was very nice, and me and him talked a bit. He talked to me about his kids, and very nice, funny guy. And I really enjoyed it. I worked with Laura Peake, who used to live in Nashville, now in L.A., and then Theo Vaughn headlined the whole thing, and I hung out with Theo a little bit. Very nice. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed my time in Winnipeg. I took a walk, just talking about the cultural vibe. I took a walk to this place called The Forks. Or The Fork. I don't remember what it's called. Something like that. It's where two rivers came together. And I just walk around, and it's like, I'm just seeing people from all around the world. And again, I just, you think about that in New York City. You think about that in Los Angeles. You think about that in, Toronto, Vancouver. I even think about, and maybe it's because I've been there, but what is it? What's the French Canadian place? Montreal. Gosh, I don't know why I was blanking on that. You know, and maybe it's because I've been there and why I think of that. But, you know, I just think about these are huge cities. So you just think about, you know, things being culturally diverse. And then I didn't know enough about Winnipeg. And Winnipeg is not a tall city. It's a sprawling city. But as I was walking around the Fork, I mean, I was just like, you know, there are people from everywhere here. And it was fun. It was nice. I mean, you know, people were not fighting with each other. Everybody was getting along just fine. So I don't mean anything by it, but I just, it's not what I expected. And, but I had a great time there. You know, people, you know, still looked at me like I was a hillbilly, you know, as they do everywhere I go. But that's okay. I don't mind it. You know, most people think I'm a country singer, except for that one guy who thinks I'm Larry the Cable Guy. And people think I work there everywhere I go. People still think I work somewhere. Even now, people are trying to get me to help them find the bathroom or a parking place or park their car. I think I pulled into a spot in LA not long ago. I had a meeting. I think I already talked about this, but I had a meeting to meet with, I was meeting with Peyton Manning's production company, Omaha Productions in LA. I pulled into the parking garage. The guy goes, "Oh, you're here." He goes, "What did he say? I don't know. I don't even know the delivery service. You Uber Eats? You Uber Eats?" I go, "No, I got a meeting here. I got a business meeting here. Look at me, guy." And, but you know, that's how it goes. But, I appreciate you guys. Hey, listen, I'm going to LA this week, but actually, you know what? This weekend, today's Friday. Next Friday, I'm going to be in Huntsville, Alabama, and then next Saturday, that's the 8th. Huntsville is the 8th, and then Saturday the 9th, I'm going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. Oh, also, even before that, August 5th, Tuesday, August 5th, I'm going to be at the Comedy Store in LA. So if you live around that area, come see me. We did have a show. I was doing a theater show in LA and it got canceled. We canceled it for, you know, various reasons. But I recently did a show at the Comedy Store. I met the new booker and she invited me to do a show at, the Comedy Store. So I'll be there. Tuesday, August 5th. So Tuesday, August 5th, I'm at the Comedy Store. Friday, August 8th, I'm in Huntsville. Saturday, August 9th, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Come see me. Thank you, guys. We're having a good time. Thank you.